Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. Every week, I will provide you with real estate topics ranging from legal matters, insurance binders, home inspections, questions about environmental concerns, mortgages, staging tips, home buyer and home seller advice, market trends, home values, and more. It's a Talk Real Estate radio show, and sometimes we're even interactive online so you can follow along. If you have any questions during the show, please call us 781-837-4900. We'd love to hear your questions about real estate, or you can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or call me 781-294-4848. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. And we're on. Hey, that was the first time that played. What'd you think of that, Tim?
I like it.
Yeah, so you are listening
to... That is great.
Yeah, wasn't it awesome? Yeah, I was with Ryan this week. He helped me put that together. So you're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and, of course, Cindy Ford, who is my sidekick. Recently just got her broker's license, so we have broker associate over at Boston Connect Real Estate. Good morning, Sin.
Well, good morning, beautiful.
How are you? Yeah, I'm running around crazy today, so it's been, you know, it's been a hectic week. We have a lot of things going on, a lot of new faces over at the office, so we definitely want to welcome a couple of the new girls who just joined us. So we have Valerie Lyons, who just joined us, and she actually lives in Easton, but she services all over the areas. And we also have Janice Wright, who just joined our office, and she lives in Lakeville, and she does a lot of work in the areas. Brockton, in fact, she does that. And, oh, that's the other thing, too, is Valerie grew up in Brockton. So that whole area.
Great.
Yeah. So we have a lot of new faces over there. Yes. So so it is a talk radio show, 781-837-4900. Tim is manning the phone, and we have a very special guest today. This is, like, one of my favorite guests, and I'm going to do my best to just stay on track because... Don't laugh at me,
nope.
John.
No promises.
The people who know me the best always laugh when I say I'm going to be on track. So I do have Mr. John Buckley, who is the Register of Deeds at the Plymouth County Registry of Deeds. And I always feel so lucky to have you to come on to the show with me. I really appreciate it.
Great. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you too, Cindy.
This is your first time meeting Cindy?
I know. Yes. And I'm so excited for the show. I am so excited.
Yes, I am too. So we're going to be talking about how 2015 ended and how all the different maybe towns did. And then you have your crystal ball with you today.
I do.
So people better be tuning in because you're going to tell them what the market's going to be doing, right?
Yeah, I will do my best.
I'm going to pay attention.
Yeah, that's awesome. John, can you just start by just telling all of our listeners who don't know what your role is over at the registry, what you do and what you're responsible for?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for inviting me again on your show. It's great to be here in the Irish Riviera a few days before St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to talk a little bit about some of those stories afterwards. But clearly, you know, it's a good time in real estate in Plymouth County. Mm-hmm. We at the Registry of Deeds are responsible for recording, preserving, and protecting all land records within the 27 communities of Plymouth County, one city, 26 towns. Plymouth County runs from Hingham and Hull on the Atlantic Ocean all the way down to Plymouth, along to Wareham, Marion, Mattapoisett, and all the way up through Rochester, Lakeville, the Bridgewaters, back to Brockton. It's rectangular in shape. It's about 500,000 people that live in Plymouth County, and quite a number of properties that are all in our records. Going back in Plymouth County, back to 1685, going back with Plymouth Colony back to the early 1620s. So we have quite a history in Plymouth County, which we'll talk a little bit about later.
That's my favorite part. You know that.
It is.
That's why I said we'd talk about it later, so you can get the stuff, you know, like all those statistics.
Right. But we also are the primary source for what's happening in the real estate market. mm-hmm. when you see a report from the Warren Group or all these experts around America giving their opinion on what happened in the past month. It's based upon the primary data that's generated at the registry, the deeds, the mortgages, the foreclosure deeds, the foreclosure notices, and other things that get recorded with us.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what our operation does is record a document. People come to the registry, either our main office in Brockton, our satellite office in Rockland over on Hingham Street,
mm-hmm.
or our satellite office in Brockton on West Elm Street, and they will bring in a document to be recorded. Closings are conducted, real estate closings are conducted at each of those three spots, or more recently, over the last 10 years or so, people can also can conduct a closing over the internet.
Mm.
It's called electronic recording. About 30 to 35% of our land court, non-land court documents, recorded land, gets recorded over the internet.
Yeah.
And it certainly makes it easier and more efficient for people to do their work off-site and just send it to us over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Documents get reviewed the same way they do when they're on-site.
Mm-hmm.
And a notice goes back to the individual, the attorneys, usually, that are recording the documents. They print off a copy, distribute the checks, and the closing's concluded.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is really convenient to do that. Sin, have you had been in one of those processes where they do e-file?
With Jim.
Oh, Jim does it?
Yes.
Yeah, so Jim Sweeney is one of the attorneys that we use, and I was actually out with him yesterday afternoon having lunch and talking about a few things, which is going to be great. And for me, I think it's great, especially when they're all so busy and,
yes.
you know, the back-to-back and with all the TRID and all these changes and everything. Like, we were supposed to have a closing on Friday and, you know, someone didn't do something they were supposed to do, so it's now pushed off until Monday. But it saves a lot of time rather than people, like, waiting at the registry.
Yeah, sure.
You know, canceling appointments and things. But there is a little part of me that, like, loves showing up, especially the, you know, I love the Plymouth branch. I mean, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful there.
Mm-hmm. It's really, I love it. And it's just so calming in there. I always tell people when I go there, like, oh, we did a tour one time with John, and he said that the color of the wall is actually matched up to the first deed and things like that. So
parchment, yeah.
Yeah, the parchment paper. So I love being, to me, when I'm at the registry, I feel like these people really just bought a house.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you can still bring your flowers and your wine for your buyers and when you're doing an e-closing, too.
Yeah, you can. And, it just doesn't feel the same.
And for the lawyer in particular, they get to market their other services in the interim. And many times it saves a lot of gas. And people feel more comfortable going to a law office where they might have, done other work before.
Yeah. I think when people are doing back-to-back closings, they feel a little more comfortable being at the registry.
Sure.
That way there, you know, everything is getting sort of taken care of and all that. We did, you know, one of the things I was very surprised about, and I keep on talking, and maybe this will be the year that I can do another tour with the office now that there's over 40 of us that would be, and not all of them would show up at once, John, I promise, but to go through that, because the process to me is actually amazing. But let me ask you one question. So if somebody went and had a deed and they signed the deed, they go through a whole closing and everything, do they legally have to record it at the registry, or is that just a way for the world to know that it's there?
Well, the whole idea of a public record system is to put people on notice for certain ownership rights.
Yeah.
And clearly the bank would require you to record it.
Yeah.
But a deed is still deemed a deed even if it's not recorded.
Okay.
But it does cause potential problems down the road because clearly one of the real important things that we do is establish a chain of title and establish all liens, you know, and that you would understand that if you've taken care of those liens, that you have a clear title.
Yeah.
Because before a real estate closing occurs, you know, the lender will assign an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
They open the file. They usually hire an independent title examiner who does a title research of a certain period of time, sometimes a 50 years, sometimes shorter, sometimes longer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the report that the lawyers review and rely upon to make sure that the purchaser of the property will have no outstanding liens, any of the mortgages, any of the attachments, anything has to be satisfied prior to the transfer of the deed. So I think the fact that you don't have to do it, still it's a real good thing to have it recorded.
So there is a track of it, and I think that makes sense too. And one of the things too, they're picking up all kinds of little things too. We recently had one that they had a small equity loan on it, and they had paid it off, but the attorney didn't file the release. And sometimes that happens, though, that sometimes the attorneys will just, I mean, the bank, not the bank will send you the final release, and then you're supposed to go record that, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and people don't do it. How much does it cost for someone to record something simple like that?
$77. Sometimes the lender will take the money out in advance and they will record it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they send it to the person who has paid off the mortgage, and they just think of it as a notice and put it in their bottom drawer.
Yeah, they put it in the safe and there it sits.
But if it's not recorded, you need to record it in order to ever sell the property.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot to people about that these days. We do a series of office hours around the town halls. In fact, our next one coming up is in Marshfield at Marshfield Town Hall.
Okay.
It's on March 24th at 10 o'clock. And we will work with the town to get the notice out to people. And many times people will come into that office hour and we'll tell them, look, it's a great time to look and make sure that all of your discharges that you know you've paid off the mortgage have been recorded. And it's a lot easier to find those discharges when you're not in a scramble to do so.
Oh, yeah, and it can hold up closings, and it can hold up a lot of things when you're finding out after. I'm going to be honest. I feel like my own house, you would think for the many times that I've talked to you about these things, that I always say, I have to go through my safe and make sure that because I feel like I have one in my safe that I didn't record. So that's going to be at the Marshfield Town Hall,
yes.
And that's going to be March 24th at 10 o'clock a.m. So what, do you show up, or do you just have staff members?
I show up with a staff person. We actually bring, one of our computers that actually can, you don't necessarily even need Wi-Fi and grab information from the sky. And we have people coming in with different problems, different requests, and a lot of them requesting just a simple copy of their deed or a ability to see whether they have filed a homestead.
That's previously. My question, yeah.
Yeah, or to file a homestead on site. But we always tell people, make sure that you check any mortgage that's been paid off to make sure a discharge has been recorded.
Okay. So do people have to set up appointments? Are there appointment hours there, or just people can show up?
It's a walk-in.
Okay. And they don't have to be just the town of Marshfield, do they?
No.
No?
No. Primarily the local towns, but they do not have to be.
Okay. So you've been, I think that's a great idea. So you've been popping around other different town halls doing that?
We've been in about 15 of the 27 towns so far.
Really? Yeah. Was Pembroke on one of them?
We did Pembroke recently.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm in there all the time. I didn't get my little notice.
No. Well, check your mail. I sent you. You're on a board over there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what though? I haven't had a zoning board meeting in a while.
Okay, maybe.
So that's why it's probably.
I'm joking. I'm pretty sure we sent you one.
I get my mail on Monday. I have a zoning board meeting on Monday, so we won't get Michelle in trouble for not getting my mail.
But
if I wanted to do that, anyways, I mean, could I go up to town? I mean, I really do need to do this for my house. Can I go up there and hire, like, there's a bunch of title examiners in there. Could I just ask one of them to pay one of them to do it for me?
Well, the easiest way to do it is just to go on our website.
Yeah.
PlymouthDeeds.org. Mm-hmm. You go on our website and go to search records.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's a grantor grantee search system.
Tell people what that means, because that was on the test, and that's a hard one to remember.
Ors give, ees receive.
Okay.
Right. So from the beginning of the registry, again, back to 1685, all land records are in a grantor-grantee system. It's one thing to record a document and have it sitting there with the other millions of documents in our system. And it was books before. Now they're really images on our website. You have to be able to find them. So the ability to record and find them is based upon a grantor-grantee system. So a grantor is someone that has deeded out the property. A grantee is someone that has purchased the property, that is the owner of the property.
Yep.
Now, it's the reverse in a mortgage.
Okay.
If you, because in as a person mortgaging the property,
Cindy just passed her broker test, by the way.
Oh, good. So you must have figured this out.
I did, but it wasn't pretty. It wasn't easy either, John. Let me tell you, because you're giving me bad memories, and I'm having a little bit of palpitation here.
Yeah, my son just has taken the CPA exam. I think there's always a little trauma.
Oh, he's finished over at Fordham.
No, he's not done. He's partway through.
Oh, he's not done.
But you know. But once you've done a test, you really want to put it behind you. Sorry.
Look at us talking about the broker test. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, that bar exam you took one time.
Yeah,
that was no big deal.
Right out of your mind.
It's like having a baby, right?
Yeah, yeah. But with a mortgage, you're a grantor, mm-hmm. because you're granting them an interest in your property, mm-hmm. for the money they're giving you until you pay off the mortgage.
Yeah.
Those are the easiest ways to find those.
Perfect. Yeah. And I know your website is absolutely it's user-friendly, so you can go on there, and you can look those things up. I know there's a fee, like if you want to print them and things like that.
Yes.
What is that if you wanted a membership, like if you wanted to be part of that?
It is an outside service. You can always get a copy of your deed at the office hours or at one of our offices for $1 a page.
Yep.
But if you want a business operation that can print at will,
like at the attorneys and things like
$30
that.
A month and $1 a page, called Title View.
Okay.
You have to sign up for it.
Okay, perfect. And for us, it's easy because, you know, we know so many attorneys in the industry.
Right.
So if we ever have sort of an issue or concern, but we can always look. We just can't print,
You can view and get most of the information just by viewing.
By viewing it, yeah. All right. Well, we're be on time for our break, huh?
I know.
The clock in here says 11:21. Just going to let you know, it's freaking me out a little bit.
It's already set for tomorrow?
Is tonight daylight savings?
Yes.
Tonight,
2 a.m.
Oh, really?
So you're ahead of the game.
Well, good thing I came here and saw that the clock was wrong because I had no idea. Where have I been? It's been a busy week, Tim.
It was a fast week.
Yeah, well, maybe for you. I mean, I haven't slept yet, so we'll see. But we have John Buckley, who is the Register of Plymouth County Registry of Deeds, with us here. He is a wealth of knowledge. I'm so, so lucky to have people like him in my life to help me figure out a lot of this stuff. And Cindy Ford, of course, Associate Broker, 837-4900. If you have any questions for John, here is your time to do that. I'm going to ask him when we come back what is a homestead and why people should have it. And I'm sure Cindy has a bunch of questions too. So we'll be right back.
Are you thinking about buying or selling a home? Are you looking to purchase investment property or considering converting a property into condominiums? Or are you a business owner or investor selling or acquiring commercial real estate? Mahoney Law Group is a full-service real estate law firm and has guided thousands of people in the South Shore area through all stages and types of real estate ownership, including buying, selling, refinancing, and condominium conversions. They specialize in residential and commercial real estate closings and title issues. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned commercial real estate investor, the knowledgeable and experienced staff at Mahoney Law Group is ready to help, and they're always available. Make sure to ask about their first-time home buyer discounts on fees and title insurance. If you have questions about buying, selling, or refinancing, give them a call, 781-849-0700. Visit their website at mlgne.com or like them on Facebook and Twitter. Again, that number is 781-849-0700. Visit their website, mlgne.com, or like them on Facebook and Twitter. Mahoney Law Group.
Plumbing problems are inevitable. Sad to say, do not fix it yourself. After all, that's your home you're living in. McNamara Plumbing. New construction, renovations, repairs, service calls. McNamara Plumbing. Fully insured. 781-294-7100. McNamara Plumbing.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300. 50% more talk real estate, absolutely free. Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. Now, 1 hour every Saturday morning on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. We are here with one of our favorite guests. We have John Buckley from the Registry of Deeds. He is our registrar over there at the Plymouth County Registry of Deeds. So, John, right before we were going to break, we mentioned the word homestead. And that's something that people can do. I'm going to repeat that, too. So it's going to be March 24th at 10 a.m. at the Marshfield Town Hall. You're going to have sort of like office hours there where people can come and have their deed reviewed and see if they have any discharge issues and things like that. But they could also file a homestead then?
They could. And we'd take it down to Plymouth and record it that day.
Okay. And how much is that?
It is $37 to file a homestead.
Wow. I don't think people realize how inexpensive it is. Can you explain to people what it is and why they should have one?
Yeah. The Homestead Act is an artificial creation of the state legislature. Basically, a vehicle to make sure they keep people in their home. It is a protection against outside creditors, primarily. And again, for the $37 filing fee, you record it at the Registry of Deeds. It gets notarized before you file it. The document that we would fill out includes information about their property, whether it's in or not in a trust. And those particular documents get recorded at the registry. And then the Homestead Act is deemed recorded and would protect you. It does not protect you from paying your mortgage. It doesn't protect you from taxes or child support or anything like that. But what it does do is protect you against outside creditors. I'll give you a couple examples. If you had a auto accident and your claim against you and the judgment against you exceeded your coverage, they would not be able to use that judgment to remove you from your home.
Okay.
You would still be able to stay in the home. If you had a slip and fall on your property that exceeded your coverage, they would not be able to take away your home for you and your family. Same with bad business deals, as long as they were after the filing of the homestead. If you had to, you would still be able to be in your home. It's the point of the legislature, and I thank the state legislators. I mentioned Jim Cantwell, who was in this district in Marshfield, as we saw last night.
He's a great guy.
As one of them, because whenever they have changed the homestead, they've always increased the coverage and increased the value. And an example of that is a couple of years ago, they expanded the coverage to trusts, made it clearer that the coverage of trust, made it clear that manufactured housing, you know, mobile homes, called, were included. And just made it a lot easier for people to get that coverage. And it gives you $500,000 in coverage if you're an individual. If you're jointly owned over 62, you get $1 million in coverage.
So
for $37 is quite a thing.
John, who writes up the homestead?
Well, we would help people write the document itself. A lot of times people come in with the document already filled out. It has to be notarized before it's recorded. And it's really a form. You know, designed from the statute, identifies your name, your property, book and page, or certificate number if it's land court, and basically whether or not you're 62 or under, and married, and you know, in a trust you have to put down the beneficiaries and all that. So it's a form that gets filled out, not overly complicated, but that's why we're always there to help.
Is there a fee to have the form filled out, like for someone to fill,
or is it just it's only to record the document?
Okay.
Yeah, the $37.
Yeah. But it's well worth looking at, people. If you go on our website, again, plymouthdeeds.org, you can see information about the homestead and take a look at it. And I get asked quite a bit, because we do a lot of these, quote, registers on the road and programs, and meeting a lot with the Council on Aging throughout Plymouth County. And we're always asked the question, have you ever seen a downside of recording a homestead and have never come up with one?
Yeah.
If someone is facing bankruptcy, they should probably want to coordinate that with their bankruptcy attorney prior to doing that.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just a vehicle that is, again, designed to keep people in their home, and congratulate the legislature for expanding it and making sure it works.
It's huge. Like, that's a great thing to, I mean, people that don't should get it.
Yeah, it's only $37. That's the thing that's so surprising to me.
And correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm going to ask you the question. If I refinance my house, you know, 3 or 4 times, I don't have to do another homestead because I'm still living in that property, correct?
Well, for a period of time during the last, you know, refinancing boom around, you know, 2005, 2006, 2007, a lot of the lenders were requiring people to file a document that removed the homestead so that they could get a better security interest in the property.
Mm-hmm.
One of the changes in the law when the legislature did it last was not allowing that. So once a homestead is filed, nothing a lender can do, refinance or otherwise, can take away your homestead right. And that's another good positive step.
Yes.
So you don't have to add, like, so if I had a home, what if it was the reverse? If I have a homestead and then I do go out and get a home equity loan, do I have to put another one
to adjust it? No, that's the point of the changes in the law.
Perfect.
You do not have to do that.
All right. Great. Awesome. What about, we're going to talk about some statistics now. So why don't you tell us, how did last year end up in, I wonder too, I don't even know if you know, do you know like quarterly and stuff? Like, how were we at the beginning of the year and things like that? No.
Yeah, I didn't bring that with me, but I can give you a summary of where 2015 ended up.
Yeah.
We track documents that we record by categories, and our overall sales volume through 2015 calendar year, as compared to 2014 calendar year, was up 8% in terms of deeds, 9,519 deeds as compared to 8,851. The total sales value was also up. It was $3.429 billion in sales value in 15, higher than 14, a 10% increase in total sales value. The average sale price went up slightly, but still that's a positive trend in the market.
Mm-hmm.
The average mortgage volume, and you can really see from the mortgage volume that went up in 2015, that people were not only using mortgages for purchase mortgages to buy properties, but a lot of people were taking advantage of the then and still historically low interest rates to refinance their properties and save a lot of money or shorten the terms of their mortgage. That was a 25% increase in the filing of mortgages.
Wow.
And foreclosure deeds, unfortunately, continued to go up. Hmm. Not as bad as years ago, but still there was a 42% increase in foreclosure deeds during 2015. A lot of the lenders, particularly the national lenders, have been clearing their books and moving forward. Some communities have been beset by that more than others. I mean, Brockton, Plymouth, and Wareham have been our three most inflicted communities with foreclosure deeds and foreclosure notices, which is the first document we receive at the registry that people will understand. It's a process of heading to a foreclosure, the first document that we see that shows a property is in trouble, that we're up 40% over the calendar year. I just want to say, anyone that is in trouble, you know, paying their mortgage, possibly facing foreclosure, I strongly advise you not to wait. A lot of people get intimidated or embarrassed by their situation. There are federally authorized housing counselors out there, NeighborWorks of the South Shore, you know, other organizations that are authorized by the federal government to try to modify the loan and bring it within their range.
I should have someone from there come on. Maybe you can connect me with somebody over there. NeighborWorks of South Shore, is that what you said?
Yes. Okay. And South Shore Housing does that also.
Yeah.
There's also a non-profit, Boston Community Capital that will actually go out and purchase the mortgage in certain circumstances and sell it back to the party at a lower interest. So there are options out there, but as long as people don't panic, don't ignore it, and just move forward, they can really help themselves out and keep their family in their home, because that not only disrupts families, it disrupts neighborhoods, and it's a really horrible thing that we've gone through since the peak, you know, in the beginning of the meltdown in 2008. We're working our way out of it, but there are still a lot of people facing that.
Again, I just want to give that number. Tim is here manning the phones. We have no callers, so I'm thinking you're just so entranced with our conversation. But if you have any questions for John Buckley, again, John is the Register of Deeds, the Register at the Plymouth County Registry of Deeds, 781-837-4900. You know, John, when you're talking about the foreclosure and the deeds, so those houses have gone into foreclosure, but they haven't been purchased yet. Is that what you're saying?
A foreclosure notice is just a notice, which is required as part of the
process
statute of foreclosing on a property.
Mm-hmm.
A foreclosure deed, on the other hand, the title in the property is shifted back to the lender.
To the bank, okay. So then is there another process where you know once that bank sells it as a foreclosed property, do you know how many of those have sold?
Yeah, they would show up in sales, but we don't really.
You don't have like a trigger.
The Warren Group, you know, that real estate organization.
Yeah, I'm doing something with them right
now.
Would
be able to
tell us that.
Do those types of reports. Yeah, that's not really what we do.
Yeah, because that's interesting to me, because I think that, you know, as much as, you know, it's awful that people are losing their homes, but I think that. You know, when other people are buying them, it's giving people the opportunity to buy these homes and fix them up and maybe make communities look better, you know, and bring it, you know, healthy again.
Right, and that's always positive. But one of the things of this whole foreclosure crisis is that a lot of these lenders are so overwhelmed and not fully staffed that they take so long. Many times people will have basically turned in their keys and walked away, and it takes so long for them to go through the process and go through all the proper notifications and you know, the issues of the mortgages that have been transferred to MERS and all of those types of things are complicated before they actually get a foreclosure deed. And then, unfortunately, in many cases, the national lenders are so overwhelmed that they sit on them.
Yeah.
And the properties in many communities, not all communities, they stick out like a sore thumb in the neighborhood and doesn't kind of deteriorate.
Yeah, we saw one recently that just got torn down in Pembroke. I saw it. They tore it down. I don't know who purchased it, but it was loaded with mold. So now you have, you know, environmental concerns and things like that. Looks like we do have a caller. So why don't we take John from Abington? Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Buckley. How are you?
Good morning.
So we have a house in our neighborhood that was the owner walked away from it about a year and a half ago, and it's laying, you know, empty basically for a year, and it's a big house in the neighborhood, and I guess my timing is perfect because you were just talking about that. I wonder how long these things take. I think it's owned by the bank at this point, and they have a management company that comes out and checks on it periodically, but really it's kind of starting to fall down a little bit, you know. And I wonder what's your sense of how long these things can take, you know?
Well, unfortunately, they can take years.
Yeah.
But you can also, you know, be a little self-involved with it. I'll give you a suggestion. If you can go onto our website, plymouthdeeds.org, if you happen to know the prior owner's name, you can probably just get into our website and find out whether a foreclosure deed has been recorded. Or you can go over to Rockland office over on Hingham Street across from Bella's Restaurant in AAA Plaza. They'll look that up for you. And you take that document to your building inspector, if there are housing violations that are going on there, or your Board of Health in Abington, and tell them that you know, you think there are violations there, and they may be able to crack down a little bit, and that would force the owner, the lender usually, to do something with it. If there are if there are Board of Health violations, they would cite the property, and that would, the big stick sometimes gets people to pay attention to it. Or if they're Board of Health violations, they can require certain stability efforts to be done on the property. And you also would be able to see who the owner is now and try to call their REO division and ask them where they are in the stage of selling it.
Okay.
Is it, when you were talking too, so when, what does the property look like now? I mean, has it been, you know, vandalized or anything like that too? And I mean, are
there... No, but the trees are, you know, there are big branches down. So the property's starting to look like, you know, it's just really neglected. So the house itself is still, you know, intact. And I don't think there's been any breaks or anything like that into the house, but it's starting to look like Tobacco Row a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's concerning for everybody's, you know, sense of safety and property values as well, I think, you know.
So if you went over to get a chance to go over to our Rockland office, and you wouldn't have to do all that research yourself. You can go ask for a copy of the current title on the property.
Yeah.
They'll look that up for you. And you could then go to Abington Town Hall and talk to, again, the building inspector or the Board of Health and make them aware of it.
Yeah.
Those would be the two town agencies that would be most likely to be able to help you. And then you would have the name of the lender who, if it's been foreclosed on and the deed has been recorded, and you could try to work it on that end.
Is there any type of notice, like, on the door? Like, sometimes the banks will put,
there's an orange notice. Yes, there's a notice with a phone number, and I've called a couple times to have them clean up some stuff, and they've made some passing efforts to do so, but they really haven't
Those are usually just companies that get hired
by
the owner just to try to keep it up and keep them out of trouble. Yeah.
And sometimes they winterize it and stuff.
And keep it for value. But clearly, I mean, it's in the interest of the lender. To move it along and move it back into private ownership.
Well, thank you very much, John. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
But thanks, John. Thanks for calling. If you need any other help, feel free to call us at the office, 781-826-8000, and we can get some more information for you, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great day. So, that is one of the concerns that a lot of people have, you know, when things are starting to come down. You know, there are some houses, too, like in the summer, the grass is so tall and things like that. So at least they know that they can go there. How do you have any statistics for us for, like, how January and February went?
Yeah, as I said, it was a good 2015.
Yeah, up 8%, which is good, right?
Yeah, our headline for that particularly end of the year was the 2015 Plymouth County real estate market gives a solid base from which to start, and that has proved through 2 months of data out.
Yep.
Clearly, anybody that wants a copy of our monthly newsletter, if you go onto our website again, plymouthdeeds.org, you can see a way to connect with that and get that.
Yeah, you can get it monthly right to your mail.
Monthly emailed out to you. And there's a website. There's an individual in our office, White, my assistant Tim White, white@plymouthdeeds.org. If you email him, he will add you to our monthly email list, and you can get up-to-date current information, including foreclosure notices and foreclosure deeds by community. So a headline for February, the month that we're just completed, is this year's kinder weather, good for business.
You got that right.
And that can bring up a whole lot of memories.
Yeah, no.
Some of them not so good.
Yeah, no. I was in my office, and I had two windows that are in my office, and they were covered by snow, and I thought, this is exactly what it feels like to be in an igloo.
Right.
That's what I was selling, igloos, last winter, last February.
Because clearly, although we had a burst after the weather cleared last year, this year, it's been a better year to get people interested in property to get out into the neighborhoods and take a look around.
And it's better, I think, for buyers especially. You know, it's a struggle to purchase a home when there is a lot of snow on the ground, a lot of snow on the roofs. You know, when we have Steve Cook as our, you know, he does all of our inspections, you know, to have him, he can't see a roof, you know, you can't see foundations, you can't see a lot of things. So it's more difficult, certainly, for buyers. But this year, last year, I felt like it was a little bit, John, I don't know if you're going to know this, but Pitocin, like, so when they want, like, to have a woman to have, you know, to go into labor fast, it's fast and furious. That's what happened last spring.
Yeah.
Now I feel like it's a very, you know, steadier.
Yep.
So I wonder if we'll have another big burst in April, May, and June, like we did last year.
Well, you may be right, because clearly our January and February were good months.
Yeah.
And the average... the sales volume, comparing the first 2 months of 2016 versus the first 2 months of 15, was a 27% increase in sales.
Wow, that's huge.
1,202 sales versus 950 last year at this time. Mm-hmm. The calculated sales value has gone up even higher, a 33% increase over last year. Mm-hmm. And the sales mortgage volume was up 10%. And, you know, we still have the foreclosure deeds and foreclosure sales, but it's been a very positive first 2 months of 2016. And clearly, a lot of that is the fact that it's been very mm-hmm. nice weather.
So that first number that you gave us, and you said we were up 27%, that was just January?
In February
together combined.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's interesting to me because I know you don't have the numbers broken out, but I was thinking like December. So that means even like through the holidays, and this is what we tell people all the time, don't come off the market because it's Thanksgiving right. and Hanukkah and Christmas and all those. People still need to purchase homes. And what we find is sort of the C-level, you know, executives are transferring from other states. So they're finding us, you know, Boston is a great place to be for finance, education, medical. So they're moving for January and February. And that I bet is a big part of that.
Yes.
Right. You know?
In days like today, this beautiful day that I'm looking out the window at today. Mm. What a great day to be out looking around.
Looking, you're showing houses today, aren't you?
Showing houses today, yes.
Yep. Cindy is showing houses, and Mary, my assistant, is out showing houses today. I have an appointment at one of my houses at 11, and I'm going to pop over there. Someone else is showing it. I'm going to pop over there and say hello to them, too. So, yeah, it's really, really busy out there. Inventory is still so low, John.
It is. Issues that we see as difficult, and we certainly recognize the concerns of realtors and others about the low inventory that's out there for people to take a look around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as more and more property values have gone up and more people are out from what we call underwater with mm-hmm. their mortgages, I think you're going to see more people starting to get interested in downsizing, upsizing, and making a move.
We call it right-sizing.
Right-sizing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's my term. I should trademark that. Yeah.
So we see a great spring market coming on. Yeah. Yes, to do a little prognostication. We definitely see another positive year, a great spring marketplace as people, you know, make their decisions to make their moves. We, you know, definitely have a great place to live down here.
Yeah, we are very lucky.
In Plymouth County.
Beautiful.
And I think a lot of people love the variety of places you can go to in Plymouth County.
Absolutely.
It's very, very diverse mm-hmm. county.
I love it. I know. I mean, I live in Pembroke, so does Cindy. And one of the things I love is that we get to visit all the water communities. Mm. You know, people who live in the water communities, yes, they're very fortunate. They live in these communities, but they tend not to leave.
Right.
So if they're living in Duxbury or if they're living in Scituate or Hingham, they tend to stay right there in that town. Where us, we tend to visit. We go to Plymouth. We go to Hingham. We go to Duxbury. So we get to, you know, sort of take it all in. The other thing, too, is, and I want to get to some of the other stuff. And, Tim, I'm just going to go straight through, okay? Those other ones are... Okay. I had a question for you about something and I don't remember. So we're all good with the statistics. You want to talk about some of the fun stuff? Because I am skipping my commercial so I can get it all in. It's my favorite part.
Well, before I do that, I also just want to offer the public, we have a training room at the Registry of Deeds.
Mm.
And it's something that we've had hundreds of people go through, including a lot of municipal employees who use our records in a way that is mm-hmm. very... you know, positive, efficient way to search our records. It's a 2-hour course. It's free. Mm-hmm. The first Thursday of every month down at our main office in Plymouth. Sign up in advance because we're limited to 9 seats at a time. But basically, it'll show you how to search our records from plans to, you know.
It's great.
9 a.m.?
It starts at 9 on the first Thursday of every month.
Okay, perfect. Maybe me and Sim will do that.
I know.
We have another caller, so let's take Rob from Kingston. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
How are you today? We are doing fabulous. What can we help you with today?
Question I have is on the Registry of the Deeds is I have put my stuff into a trust. Do I have to do a homestead over again?
Yes. A trust is basically a different ownership type than your home was before when it was owned jointly, individually, tenants in common, however it was held.
Right.
And the purpose of a trust is to put in a separate ownership to make it protected and all that. However, it is a different vehicle, and I would advise you to refile your homestead.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, so he's going to be at, you can get that, can you get that form right online, John, or do you have to go down?
You should be able to go to our website and get any information you want. You would have to fill it out and have it notarized before you record it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can go to one of our offices.
Yeah.
Our offices are in Plymouth, 50 Obrey Street, over in Rockland, and the AAA Plaza on Hingham Street.
Yeah.
Or probably, if you're from Kingston, you're probably
Plymouth.
Best coming down to our beautiful new building down on Obrey Street.
Yes.
All right. That sounds great. Thank you very much.
Rob, do you know where that building is? It's like,
I do.
The prison is right behind it. Yeah, so that's, yeah, definitely that's a good thing to do. $37, protect yourself.
Right, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Perfect.
Thanks for calling, Rob. That was a great question.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we're going to talk about some of these, what is it that you do on there? I forget the name of it. Notable?
Yeah, one of the things that we did, first of all, we had a group of people that worked with me in designing our new building, which we call it a new building because...
I know. How new is it now?
It's now 10 years old, over 10 years old.
Still looks new.
But our old
there.
Building was over 100 years old,
oh, so
it's still
new.
Our new building.
It's new. It's new.
And as part of the building of it, we used lawyers, title examiners, the users of the building, to make sure it was done in a way that people could use it in the future. But as soon as we had built that building and we had designed that building to show off some of our history as you walk through the main corridors, we established a committee for the displays.
Mm-hmm.
As part of the displays, we decided to show some of our land records, both famous people and places that were notable in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So we call it the Plymouth County Registry of Deeds and Notable Land Records Collection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a collection of about 87 people and places now.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing to be added on a regular basis. But I figured being out here on the Irish Riviera the week before St. Patrick's Day, I would bring some of our well-known individuals of Irish descent.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, my daughter, Casey, is flying home from Shannon today. She's in Ireland visiting her roommate. So she's coming home today, actually. She enjoyed it thoroughly. So I'm sort of interested in this. So what do we got?
Well, a lot of people know, particularly in the town of Hull, that former mayor of Boston, James Michael Curley, had a summer house in Hull.
In Hull? I didn't know that. You know Mark's parents are from Hull, so they're going to be interested. Can I keep that?
Yes.
Give it to them?
Yes. He was a very colorful personality. Mm. Was elected once as mayor from jail, as you remember. But he served as a common council member, a state rep, an alderman, a councilor, congressman, and a mayor of Boston four times in four different decades. There were great two beautiful bronze statues of James Michael Curley between Government Center and Faneuil Hall, and certainly a well-known Irish rogue, as people would remember.
So it's not the same Curley he didn't have anything in Pembroke, right? Who was the Curley that had something in Pembroke?
Well, Curley used to come down with his friends down to that little restaurant down on the pond.
Yeah. Nope. It was actually over by Oliveira. Well, it was Oliveira's, but it's a new ownership now. Actually, I saw that owner yesterday. It's going to be called Arrow.
Okay. We'll give it a plug.
Yeah. And I heard, actually, that Route 36 is the shortest road in Massachusetts, and they put that road so Mayor Curley's, his friends from the city could find him.
Right.
Yes.
So that was him. It was him. Yeah.
Truth or fiction, I'm not sure, but it is the shortest road.
I think it's truth. Well, there's a house across the street that are in that area that they say that it has another history to do with all those guys, but that's another story.
Okay, those are great stories. History, we always believe, is best told by stories.
Yeah.
Rather than memorizing dates.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's another fellow here who's in the Hall of Fame at Cooperstown. Mickey Cochran was born in Bridgewater.
Hmm.
And here's a really interesting thing. While at Boston University, he lettered in five sports: baseball, football, basketball, hockey, and boxing.
Hmm.
And he's known as one of the greatest catchers of his era. He played and managed in professional baseball with the Philadelphia Athletics and the Detroit Tigers. And he won five pennants, three World Series and two American League Most Valuable Players. He was a great friend of Ty Cobb, who many remember was the first player elected into Cooperstown. And there's a plaque in his honor in a field and named after him in Bridgewater, right off of Route 18, just outside Bridgewater Center.
Awesome.
Honey Fitzgerald, another Hull person. John Honey Fitzgerald was President Kennedy's grandfather. He was a congressman, the mayor of Boston. He bought a home in Nantasket Ave in Hull back in 1915. He was elected to Boston's Common Council, the state Senate, elected to Congress, and he was elected mayor of Boston, becoming the first American-born Irish Catholic mayor of Boston, and he summered in Hull.
He was the first Irish-American?
Yes.
That's funny.
And his daughter, Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy, married Joe Kennedy, and Fitzgerald was the grandfather of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th president of the United States. Also, Joe Kennedy and Rose were the father and mother of Senator Robert F. Kennedy and our great senator in Massachusetts, Senator Edwin M. Kennedy.
Interesting. It's a lot of mayors here, so maybe we can get Mayor Walsh on here one day. Sure. I went to school with him. I sat next to him.
I remember you did,
Yeah, Sister Helen Cushing's class.
Yeah. He did come down for an event during his campaign.
Did he?
Yeah.
No, he's a great guy, really great guy. Really happy for him.
Yeah, once more back into the baseball area. A lot of people might remember one of the more famous Red Sox chases. 1967, the impossible dream year. Ken Coleman lived in Plymouth for a number of years. He was the broadcaster during that time period, and he narrated baseball for a lot of times, including the Cleveland Indians. He was a big supporter of the Jimmy Fund, but he was the voice of basically a record album back at that time. Nobody remembers vinyl records anymore.
Yeah. There's a bunch here. What are you talking about? Tim can hold one up for us.
Right. Another Hull guy, a lot of Hull because a lot of Boston people would take the ferries over into summer in Hull. Mm-hmm. John Boyle O'Reilly was a very famous Irish poet. He grew up in Meath Island. He joined the British Army, but he was convicted for, they called it, Fenian tendencies supporting the Irish independence, and he was sent to death. That death was commuted. He was sent to Australia, a penal colony in Australia, instead of being executed, but he escaped and made his way into Boston, became the editor of the Pilot, the Catholic newspaper. He purchased the Hunt Estate in Hull as a summer residence, and he built a new one down there. The site of his summer home is now the Hull Public Library.
Oh,
and he was a very important person in assimilating the Boston Irish into the Yankees, and he was a keynote dedicated speaker to the National Monument in Plymouth. And there's a monument in his honor in the Fenway
section. Father-in-law is going to love these.
Yeah.
He really is, all these Hull things.
And here's a guy that they just did a plaque monument in Brockton, Billy McGonigal. Billy McGonigal was a shoe worker, worked in the shoe industry, son of Irish immigrants, and he, during his playing days, they didn't have gloves, and particularly the catchers would have broken fingers. So he began by using bricklayer's gloves to catch the ball, and that was part of the development of the catcher's mitt. Now they all use
Can you imagine?
No.
Did they have to draw straws? I'll be the catcher. I'm all set.
His playing days ended when he had a fractured skull.
Oh.
So he became a manager, and he managed the Brooklyn Bridegrooms to back-to-back championships. The only manager to manage back-to-back two different leagues. The Brooklyn Bridegrooms won the American Association, then the National League. They became the Brooklyn Dodgers. The Brooklyn Bridegrooms were named because they all got married one year and they decided to call it the Brooklyn Bridegrooms.
So simple.
Then they changed the name to the Brooklyn Dodgers because they were all dodging the trolleys down there.
Oh, I thought they were dodging their wives.
Let's go play baseball.
And ended up owning a bar and billiard parlor in downtown Brockton. And one day when he was going home, he got hit by a trolley car.
Oh, really? Well, that's
and
what he gets.
And then ended his life.
Oh, my gosh.
couple others. I heard the bell, and we're running out of time.
No, you have a couple minutes, but let me just say real quickly what the doorbell means. That gives me an opportunity to talk a little bit about real estate. We're going to have lots of open houses going on this weekend. I am going to be over at 15 Mariah's Path tomorrow from 1 to 3. That's a new house that I just put on the market, and it actually has an in-law apartment in it. We see a lot of multi-generational living going on. Boomers, you know, are out there, and they're selling their homes and moving in with, you know, the kids. So they're getting one bigger house. So this house has over 6,000 square feet of space. So it would be great if you could come and see me. I will be there again, 15 Mariah's Path in Pembroke. Really great location. Sin, are you at an open house at all?
No, not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow. And then Jefferson Square, this is going to be our last weekend to be able to have open houses over there, because we will have people moving in and the new construction will be coming up soon. So we only have 3 units left over there. That's over on 53 in Pembroke, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah, Washington Street. Sorry, 595 Washington Street. We have a bunch of agents over there today throughout the day from 11 to 4. So
yes.
Please make it over there. John, before, if we, I don't even know if we'll have time, how can people get in touch with you if they need to? We're out of time. No, but you can tell.
Buckley@PlymouthDeeds.org, and you can go on our website and see all these notable records. The ones I didn't mention was John L. Sullivan, the boxer, James Kilroy of Kilroy was here, and Bailey's Garage in Abington, which is the start of the Abington Parade next week.
Can't wait to read the Kilroy one. I am Sharon McNamara. I'm along with Cindy Ford. You can reach us at the office, 781-826-8000, 826-8000, or bostonconnect.com. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you,
Cindy. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Yes.